We welcome back to the program University of South Carolina's number one first-round draft pick, number 25 on the back of his jersey, but number one in your hearts, Dr. Rick Sanford. Good evening, sir. How are you?
I am doing great, Phil. I hope y'all are doing well.
We are. We are. Back in your day, I mean, they didn't have a green room, and you guys didn't congregate at one location or anything like that and have to sweat through it like these guys do, did you?
No, I got a call in the athletic dormitory room. That's what, informing me that I had been selected. I looked at my wife last night, Phil. I said, can you just imagine what I've missed through my life here? I mean, looking at how they treat these kids nowadays, it's like royalty, man, royalty.
Absolutely. Well, look, I mean, they are investing, these first-rounders, right? They are investing a ton of money in these guys. They're going from rags to riches in some cases. Well, not too well, I guess Bryce Young was already a millionaire quarterback in college, as Nick Saban pointed out a couple of years ago. Hey, I got a quarterback making $1 million, okay? So he's not exactly going from rags to riches. He's going from rich to extremely filthy rich, right?
Well, if he was making $1 million, I think his package total is right at 39.6 million or something like that. So yeah, he's making a little bit more now.
Well, did anything really – now, of course, you know, the Levis thing, I don't know if you were surprised by that or not. What did you think about that? Were you falling into the conversations leading up to the draft that he might be one of the first four quarterbacks to go? Or did you ever buy into that?
No, I didn't think Stroud – I mean, I was surprised that the Texans took Stroud, but, you know, it didn't surprise me when they turned right around and traded to get Will Anderson. So – So they gave up a lot, though. I mean, if you look at that on paper, that's a lot of I don't know, real estate to give up, you might say, because there, you know, this Will Anderson better be a player, and Stroud sure better be a player, because if they don't produce, the Texans are going to be in trouble for years to come. But in terms of their picking, I just felt it was just a lot to give up. I think they really wanted Will Anderson, but felt like they had to, you know, be in a position where they're going to move to take some a quarterback, and that's pretty much how it happened, I think. Levis, it didn't surprise me. I looked at it the other day. Remember I mentioned it to you that there was some talk, you know, that he really wasn't a team player. You know, there were some things that came out in some of his interviews, and pretty much self-centered kind of kid. And then there was something about a toe injury that he had that was like recent, or either it was not revealed. So, you know, does that make him not a really good football player? You get picked anywhere in the draft, you're a pretty good athlete. So you see guys that, you know, make it that are free agents now. You see guys that are make it in sixth and seventh round. So if you look at the draft board starting tonight, you'll see that probably there are about 9 of the top 20 picks. Any of those teams would be quarterback searching. So I suspect that Levis will probably go off, you know, within – I don't think he's going to go off early second round, but I think that, you know, someone – it's a possibility Detroit may take him. Mm-hmm. Also a possibility Tampa may take him. These teams are picking pretty high tonight. So, you know, if you look at the draft order, there's a distinct possibility, I think, that he'll probably find his way to a team here in the probably the top 15 picks of the second round.
And in actuality, going back to what I said a minute ago, he will be among the top four quarterbacks if he's the first one taken tonight, because 3 were picked last night. He would be the fourth, but I think he was thinking he'd be among the top 4 or 5 picks as those teams were picking quarterbacks. But I said this earlier, Rick, and I'll ask your opinion about this. I mean, what happens with quarterbacks is the teams that are picking early, they're usually picking early because they're not good, obviously, and they're not good because they need better quarterbacks. And so they take quarterbacks early. And if you're not in that group, the next teams who are better teams to even really good teams or great teams, they're set at quarterback. So there's no team that really needs a quarterback. And that's why if you're not in that initial little group, you end up sliding on down the line till you find a team that needs a quarterback, maybe the second or third round.
Well, it may work out in his favor, Phil. I mean, because if you look at some of the teams that are coming up, you know, I think he'd stand a better, he'd be on a better team with Detroit than any of these kids. He'd be on a better team with probably Tennessee, you know, who is going to be picking early in the second round as well. So there's some, you know, like I said, there are some teams out there. The Raiders are another team that's picking early in the second round. I think Seattle, I mean, there's another team that's picking early in the second round. And those are good football teams, you know, potentially a lot better than the teams that, you know, Bryce Young and Stroud are going to, and certainly Anthony Richardson. So I think you're spot on in what you're saying. You know, if you're a quarterback and you're getting picked high, you're going to a pretty bad team generally.
All right, so the Panthers did the expected, and they took Bryce Young. I mean, if you've got the number one pick, and that pick is a quarterback, you have to hit a home run, don't you? I mean, he has got to be successful, or he can set your program back many years. What do you think?
Yes, absolutely. I think it, you know, this is Scott Fitterer, this is a live or die pick for him, quite honestly. You know, they may say that, you know, well, Frank Reich, I mean, you look at his job will be mm-hmm. on the line in the years to come as well. I mean, this is top jobs, and if he doesn't hit and become a star, certainly the Panthers are going to have to be a threat. And fortunately, they're in a division. If you look at the quarterbacks in that division now, he might be the best quarterback.
Hmm.
Coming in, I mean that's kind of scary. I mean, but it's kind of good for the Panthers. So, you know, I think that that he will perform and he'll do well. I think it was an excellent pick for the Panthers. Quite honestly, I don't think, you know, there was a better quarterback out there. He was clearly head and shoulders above the other quarterbacks in this draft, no doubt about it. But, you know, it really didn't surprise me that much about Levis, Phil, but, mm-hmm. you know, it is going to be interesting to see where he does land. I think that he would do very, very well with a team like the Raiders. And the reason I say that, you've got Josh McDaniel there as a head coach and also the guy that develops quarterbacks. You know, he was with the Patriots for years and years. Tom Brady wasn't too bad under Josh McDaniel. So,
I think those two kind of needed each other. You know, maybe McDaniels needed him more than Brady needed him, since Brady went elsewhere and still won a Super Bowl.
Yeah. Well, that's possible. See, I certainly think McDaniel is an excellent, you know, developer of quarterbacks, and I think that's where it's going to have to be for a guy like Anthony Richardson and a guy like Levis, because those guys are going to need much more training than a guy like Stroud and Young do. I thought those two guys were head above everyone else up there, but Stroud not near as good a football player, I don't think, as Bryce Young.
Sure.
Dr. Rick Sanford back with us here tonight on Sports Talk, recapping round one of the NFL draft. And, Rick, I think this is an interesting story and one that Phil will enjoy, because he wasn't a five-star, he wasn't a three-star, but the first guy that plays a similar position that you did to go off the board was Devin Witherspoon last night at the Seattle selection, number 5 overall out of Illinois. And here was a kid that had no real offers coming out of high school, didn't even start playing football until his junior year. Can you give us an idea as to how difficult that is to transform yourself into an NFL first-round player in that relatively short period of time?
I tell you, I'm not sure how he did it, quite honestly. I mean, he's obviously a tremendous athlete. I think he brings to the game a little bit more toughness than most quarterback and cornerbacks that you see in the NFL. And you know, he has the ability to lock down receivers as well. You know, I think his big thing was just the ability to be not really get himself out of position a lot. That's the main thing about being a defensive back. I mean, you know, nowadays you see a lot of guys that take a lot of chances and, you know, they get beat a lot, but then they make some plays here and there and people think they're really great football players. I don't think guys that do that are great football players. I think the great football players that are guys that play down to down. And make plays down to down. I mean, and are smart. And obviously, this kid's a smart kid. And I don't even know how to explain that, Chris. You know, how do you explain a kid that's played what? Now, what, 6 years of football? I mean, total, yeah. And you're the number one defensive back taken in the draft. So I don't know that that's even explainable, quite honestly, other than the fact that he's a tremendous athlete.
Dr. Rick Sanford joining us here on Sports Talk again. Thanks so much for your time. In recent years, we've seen NFL teams start to pair former college teammates together. Offensively, we've seen the Bengals taking Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase, the Dolphins taking Tua Tagovailoa and Jalen Waddle, the Eagles with Jalen Hurts and Devontae Smith, and now sticking with the Eagles defensively, this year they've taken defensive tackle Jalen Carter last night along with edge rusher Nolan Smith, and just last year they took two other of their former Georgia teammates, all four now off of that 2021 National Championship team, defensive tackle Jordan Davis and linebacker N'Kobe Dean. What are your thoughts on that? Is this what we're starting to see as a blueprint for NFL teams moving forward? Are they searching for that camaraderie like right out of the gate? Or just what are your thoughts on teams doing this approach now?
Well, I think it's fortunate. I think that, you know, because you got to remember there's other people that are picking you know, and have the opportunity to pick these kids, and for whatever reason they don't. I think Howie Roseman has done a tremendous job of building that football team, and he's no dummy. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, you know, you look at that 2021 Georgia defense. I mean, it was tremendous, and now he's got four players off that defense. And, you know, you surround that with other NFL talent, I mean, that's going to be a pretty stout group up front for Philadelphia this year, which won't hurt my feelings, though, you know, because they play the Cowboys twice a year. So that'll be just fine with me.
Okay, I got a personal question, personal for my Packers. Yeah. Now, I doubt there's any other team, maybe you know this, you maybe haven't studied it, but I doubt there is another team in the NFL that has ignored offensive players with their first-round pick since 2005 more than the Packers. Maybe I'm right, maybe I'm wrong. 2005, they took Aaron Rodgers. Since then, and there were 2 years they didn't have a first-round pick. Since then, since 2005, they've taken in the first round three offensive players, a quarterback in Jordan Love and two tackles. So forget about Love. They haven't added in the first round any skill position players on the offensive side. And, I mean, going back to 2005 when Rodgers was taken, that was one of his complaints there towards the end. Hey, you're not drafting great talent, offensive talent in the first round. The Packers took a defensive end last night. Excellent player, obviously. Rick, their opinion must be we can get running backs and receivers later on, and we need to address more important needs with our first round picks.
That's the way it appears, Phil. I don't know what their philosophy is. I don't understand it, quite honestly. I've never understood why they would never. It seemed like they were against wide receivers for some reason. I don't know. Or they just felt like that we'll just find them down the board. And, you know, and they've done it. You know, you look at the receivers that they've been able to accumulate. I mean, they've done a heck of a job, you know, in the past to have guys that Rodgers could throw to. I mean, you know, Devontae Adams wasn't Swiss cheese over there, you know, when he was in Green Bay. So
he was not a first-round pick. He was not a first-round pick.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Right. So it tells me that they're able to develop guys somehow. And, you know, maybe it's their coaching. Maybe it's their – some type of program that they use it that maybe others don't use. I don't know. You know, you saw the Jets last night, and it had to warm my soul a little bit last night when the Jets took the kid from Iowa State. Not that he's not a good football player, but he's a defensive player. And I know they were probably getting ready to turn the card in, and then Bill Belichick stepped in and, you know, he loves to stick it to the Jets. Anytime we can stick it to the Jets, Phil, we're happy to stick it to them. You know, so Broderick Jones was about ready to become a New York Jet last night until Bill Belichick stepped in and said, I'm not having any of this, so I'll just move back a couple of spots and go ahead and take them, Steelers. So the Steelers got them a heck of a good player last night, and a guy, and you look and see. I mean, what are the Jets going to do now? I mean, there are a couple of tackles left that are pretty worthy that they could go after tonight here in the second and third rounds that would probably suffice for them. But if they don't address their offensive line, Aaron Rodgers is going to look like Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay last year next year. So I can promise you that, because he's going to be on the run.
He was on the run a good bit. Last thing about Aaron Rodgers, we'll let you go. He looks like a different guy, though. He looks happy. He's got his hair cut in a normal fashion now, what I view a normal fashion, instead of that cockeyed sideways haircut he had in Green Bay last year. And the other thing is Joe Namath said, hey, if you want number 12 and you want to, you know, keep it going because you're number 12, go ahead. And he said, nope, that belongs to Joe Namath. Not interested in having it. I'll wear number 8. And I think he won a lot of points with Jet fans with that move alone going into this thing. I think he won over a lot of people in the Jet kingdom there.
Yeah, you know, as self-centered as Aaron is, that's amazing that he's not going to take that number 12. So I was stunned, actually, that you know that he chose number 8 over number 12, because there's no better player than Aaron Rodgers. If you don't believe it, you just ask him. He'll tell you.
Well, I have a feeling he's going to have a great year with the Jets. I mean, they got good players. Like you said, if they can protect him, the defense is going to give them the ball in good field position and give them a chance where they don't have to score 30, 35 points. Their defense is for real. He saw that himself when the Jets beat the dog out of the Packers last season. And I think he's going to have a good year. He's got one of his familiar faces from the Packers has gone there as a free agent signee at wide receiver, so kind of a security blanket there. So I think he's going to do fine. We're going to let you go so you can get ready for the picks coming up at 7. Thanks a bunch. Maybe we'll catch up with you Monday night to put a ribbon on this thing if you want to join us one more time.
I'll be happy to do it, Phil. And you know what? I got to go get the smoking jacket and the glass of wine, and I'm ready to go.
There you go, my man.
Thanks, Rick.
Thank you,
we'll
Dr. Rick.
You
are the man. Dr. Rick Sanford joining us here on Sports Talk. Great stuff about the draft. From a guy who's been through the draft and a guy who follows the draft and has a feel for it. And we'll see what happens beginning tonight, a little bit after 7 o'clock. They'll get it rolling.